let's get started with today's portion of Fire Starters. It deals with joy.
And can you handle that? Can you handle some joy?
Yes.
Caffeine.
We kind of both have some effects, right? Anyway, all right, so it says, we experience passion in God's presence, which last week was passion, or having passion for God after God. Now, Psalm 16:11, it says, in his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
So with that, I would like to add that if we stay actively aware of his presence, we will always have a supply of joy in us and through us. Because it comes to sources the presence of God himself. So if we stay aware of it, because God is everywhere.
Amen.
He's omnipresent. But, you know, we get caught up as humans in just our daily running around and things like that. And we sometimes lose focus of his presence. We're not as aware and tuned to it, even though he's there, he's with us. So if we stay actively aware, like in an ongoing sense, recognizing where he's at that very moment, then we always have that source of joy in us and flowing through us. Psalms 51:11-12 says, do not take, this was David speaking, do not take your Holy Spirit from me and restore to me the joy of your salvation. Two things, real quick, has nothing to do with it does, but it doesn't. But just to clarify that, this is Old Testament. This was a time frame where the Holy Spirit was not given to the believer. The New Testament says that the Holy Spirit is the seal of our salvation. So he won't be taken away from you. He's the seal of our salvation. So this was during a time frame where the Holy Spirit only rested upon the people of God or came upon them to anoint them and to work through them. That's why David is saying, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. So that doesn't, you know, happen. We don't have to, like, you know, go cry out to God about that anymore. But in line with that, as Bill Johnson would say, he's in us. The Holy Spirit is in us for our good. He rests upon us for others' good.
Amen.
He came upon Jesus as a dove. And, you know, Bill Johnson teaches that if we walked around with a dove on our shoulder, Holy Spirit, you know, how would you walk your daily life? How would you live out your day-to-day life? So you wouldn't scare that dove or, you know, have him fly away. But the Holy Spirit lives in us as believers, so we don't have to worry about him being taken away. But, back to joy. David does say in that same passage, says, and restore to me the joy of my salvation, of your salvation. The salvation of God consists of joy because salvation is an entrance into the expression of his presence. But it's really only an entrance. It's the doorway where you come into that experience of his joy. But there is so much more to that, to experience. It's like the room. You come in the room, that's the entry point, right? The joy, right? Joy, salvation. Salvation brings you into that experience. But as you walk into this room more, then you can experience, you know, the actual whole room. You can come in contact with people. You can experience the chairs and how comfy they are. It's the same way. Salvation brings you into that experience of the joy of God. But let's not just stay there, but let's continue to go in deeper, and so we can come into a full experience of the fullness of his joy that he wants to, you know, us to experience to and come in contact with.
Amen.
Romans 14:17, it says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So basically, what Paul is saying to us is that one third of the kingdom of God is joy. So that's a lot of joy. Pretty sure the kingdom's pretty big, so, you know, for one third of it to be joy, you know, that's a lot of joy that God has available to us, has made available to us to come into experience. So to encounter the kingdom of God is to encounter joy. They go together. Let's make a declaration. Everybody looks like caffeine mode.
You need a caffeine moment.
I got plenty of coffee. No. I'm willing to share. I obviously had too much. like 4 cups today already.
Woo! Come on.
Long work weekend, so. All right. So let's make a declaration. Everybody ready? Yeah. All right. So we are called.
We are called
to live from kingdom perspective.
To live from kingdom perspective.
Because that's where the kids live at.
Because that's where the king's kids live at.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. King's kids live at. Yes. We are not outsiders trying to get in.
We're not outsiders trying to get in.
But insiders bringing the kingdom out.
The insiders bringing the kingdom out. There you go.
So, it's, you know, let that sink in. We are his kids. We live from a kingdom perspective. You know, we're not trying to get in, but we're actually already in the inside, and it's for us to bring what's in the kingdom out to those who don't know the kingdom and his kingdom. Yep. Which includes joy.
Amen. Oh, little salsa.
All right. So when Jesus comes, joy is to be the result. Isaiah 61, verse 3 and 7 says, it was prophesied that the Messiah will bring the oil of gladness and everlasting joy. So it's ongoing river of joy. Never ends. All right. So did he come?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Isaiah what?
61, chapter 61, verse 3 and 7.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so it says that when he comes, everlasting joy and oil of gladness. But we've established that he came, right?
Yeah.
All right. Does he live in you?
Yes. Yes.
So then, therefore, what's in you?
Joy.
And?
The Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes. What else? I just said it. The oil of gladness, right? So you have joy and just gladness inside of you because Jesus brought it and he lives inside of you. So that's already deposited in you with him. His joy and the oil of gladness. Everlasting joy. Let's do an activation. Let's pair up, especially since we have a small group. We could like mix and match. Don't go with somebody you always go with, and don't go with somebody you know. Just mix and match.
Mix
it. Come on, guys. Find somebody you never really like prayed over and released stuff over.
So this is what we're gonna release over each other, because we already have the oil of gladness and the joy, everlasting joy in us. So now release that over each other. Yes, release the oil. The oil of gladness is already inside of each of us, and so is his everlasting joy. So the activation is to release that over each other. So each of you have it, just release it. All right, so Luke 2:10 says, this is Jesus speaking too, says, I have good news of great joy, and it's for all people. So, good news of great joy, and it's for all people. So, what's the news about?
The good news.
Yes, what's the good news about?
What's the good news? The gospel, Jesus. The kingdom of God.
Yes, what else?
The hope of glory.
All right. Yes, yes.
By golly, George, I got it.
Give that woman a gold star.
That'd be like Rose. That'd be like Rose getting ready to preach.
All right, so it says good news of great joy. So Jesus has news for us, good news, and it's of great joy. And it's for all people. Do you fall under that category of all people?
Last time I checked.
Last time, yes. So knowing that Jesus has good news for us, and it's news of great joy, should make joy bubble up inside of us. And it should get us excited, knowing that what he thinks of us, knowing what he has for us, is all good, and it's of great joy. Right? Let's, real quick. Sometimes people confuse joy and happiness. Happiness is based on outward circumstances, right? Somebody gives me a new car, I'm like, woo, I'm happy, right? Somebody steals a new car, then I'm not happy.
Exactly.
But joy is something that comes from within.
Yes.
It's an inward attitude of our hearts, our spirit, our soul. So throw that out there.
Well, thank you.
So, again, that Jesus has news of great joy. Things that are just from inside of us that are like, yes, I'm excited. You know, God is good. He loves me. He has good stuff for me. You know, no matter what's going on around the outside.
Yeah.
Right? Jeremiah 29:11 says that God says, I know the plans I have for you. The plans are of good thoughts, plans to prosper you, and all these other stuff. I'm sure you know it better than me. But it's all that good stuff that God has for you, the way he sees you, the way he thinks of you, the way he thinks of me and sees me. And that's where this great joy comes from. You know, because knowing that he has us, he loves us, he cares about us. Okay, so when the kingdom comes, joy is to be one of its primary manifestations. Luke 1:44 says, and John leaped for joy in Elizabeth's womb when he encountered Jesus in Mary's womb. I think it's cool that... Too much trouble. I think it's cool that even as infants, right, in each other's wombs, the spirit of John, John's spirit, was able to sense and recognize the presence of Jesus in Mary's womb. And that gave him joy. It says that he leaped for joy inside his mother's stomach when he picked up on the presence of Jesus. So, again, just being in his presence, recognizing his presence, knowing that he's there, you know, just should bring the awareness of that joy that's in us, and it should have that jump and cause us to, like, yes, you know? Luke 6:21. Happy are those who will laugh. I think I might just skip that verse.
Why don't you skip that verse?
Luke 6:21
says, happy are those who weep now, for they will laugh when the kingdom comes.
Amen.
When did the kingdom come? Well, Jesus proclaimed in Matthew 4:17, the kingdom of God is near, is among you. And then it says that the kingdom of God is now. Therefore, now is the time to laugh, right? Because Luke 1:44. Anyway, let's keep moving forward.
Is it Luke 1:44?
Luke 1:44, when John leaped in his mother's womb, yes.
Okay.
So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you, Jesus.
See the little light bulb over
there? The headlight, right?
Yes.
That's what it was. So when the kingdom comes, right, those who have wept or whatever, they will laugh. And that's what I wanted to tie into. That the kingdom of God already came, because Jesus brought the kingdom, right?
Yes. Amen.
So the kingdom is near you. There's another scripture that says the kingdom is inside of you, inside of me.
Yes.
So the kingdom is already here. So therefore, we don't have to continue weeping, but we could laugh and let the joy take over and live in the joy of God, as opposed to, you know, sadness and weeping and things like that.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. See, if you didn't ask the question about Luke, I would never remember You know? Funny how my brain acts.
That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he
That was
works.
It. Okay, let's do an activation so we can save the day. activation time.
Listen, we're just having joy watching you teach, brother.
It's not the joy, it's my crowns. All right, let's do an activation. Let's stand up.
Okay.
And let's put our hands towards heaven in faith.
Okay.
And in faith, we're going to be receiving. Ask the Holy Spirit for an overflow of his joy.
Overflow, Lord. Amen. We want an overflow of joy. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
So I got an example of today of exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
So do you want me to share?
Yeah.
I got the song.
So today, my daughter and my granddaughter, we went down to Philadelphia to the children's hospital, and we celebrated our first time we went for heart transplant kids. It was a reunion. And I noticed, like, what you were saying is that we're supposed to be the light of Jesus. We're supposed to bring joy into a dark situation. We're supposed to be filled up so much, so pumped up with the Holy Spirit, that no matter how dark the situation is, you know, we just have to rely on the Holy Spirit to give us that inspiration, to give that joy to somebody else. So this is a very dark situation. These people have gone through the most torturous experience for their children. A lot of the kids were on life support. A lot of the kids didn't make it. Very few got heart transplants in time. There aren't a whole lot of ones that made it.
Wow.
We're blessed. Our little one got her heart when she was 3 months old, and she's now 3.5 years old. But I noticed that all these people have, like, imploded, and they're all to themselves.
Wow.
And this one particular family, the mother has just shrouded herself in darkness. Like, she's got heavy black hair, bangs, and black makeup all over her face. And, like, I just heard the Holy Spirit saying to me, just dive in and, like, dig through all the darkness. And in there is a mother that's heart is broken.
Right.
Her child went through the most horrific pain, but her child is alive. She's got a miracle heart.
Wow.
And she's thriving. And so it was my place as Jesus' child to go in there and say to her, "Hi, my name is Lauren, and I've seen you with the gift of Lighthouse, and I'm just so happy to be here with you and share this miracle that we each share, that our kids got a heart in time," and just loving on her. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, that's wow. right. It's good. Wow. Amen.
Can I sing a song that
yes,
does kind to
I was going to say, you I heard you say it? Something.
No, it's activation. Do you have to sing
yeah.
it?
Yeah. As you told us to pray, and I was just asking God his overflow was for the joy. And the song that came to me was, "I have the joy, 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 joy,
joy,
joy
down
in my heart. Down in my heart.
Down in my heart.
Got the joy, 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 down in my heart. Down in my heart today.
Wow.
Come back next week and Mojo will be personally teaching that dance move.
Wow.
All right, amen. Good stuff. Good, good stuff. That's why we do activations, because we really just want to, you don't want to come here and watch me fumble over what I wanted to share that I don't know why I wanted to share it. I want to come and be encountered with the Holy Spirit. So, yeah.
Wow.
All right. So moving on. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength, and that consists of spiritual, emotional, physical, and supernatural strength." Joy builds strength. It says here, laughing 100 times is equal to 10 minutes on a rowing machine. So if you skip the gym, you don't like going to the gym, start laughing. The joy of the Lord empowers us. It's empowerment. And therefore, it's a weapon. It's actually a weapon that we have.
A weapon against darkness.
Yes.
Yes.
Releases kingdom empowerment in and through our lives and circumstances. Because once we start moving in that joy and we release that joy, well, no matter what the circumstances is, whether it's our own personal life or somebody else's, once we release it, it changes that atmosphere.
Yeah, it's light. Yeah. It's light.
Amen.
That's good.
Luke 10:21 says, Jesus was continually, keyword, full of joy or drunk through the Holy Spirit. So it's a continuous thing. Jesus did it continually. It's something that we can move in and live in continually. Acts 13:52, the disciples were continually filled with the joy and the Holy Spirit. So these two words bring to mind, I think it was 2 weeks ago when you spoke about, being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And I shared that, like the sail of a sailboat, where it takes in the wind, and even though it takes in the wind, but it's never full. It always keeps taking more. So it's the same thing with the joy. We can continually always be, flowing through us. If Jesus and the disciples needed to be continually filled with joy to fulfill their impossible mission, then it stands to reason that we need to be continually filled with joy to fulfill the mission God has given us. Let's do another activation. Let's real quick pair up, hair up again. Actually, we did this. We kind of did this already. We paired up and released joy over each other. So
yeah.
We already did that. And we already got the dance and the song. So if the joy is flowing.
We're good to go here.
Joy is a choice, like much of almost anything else in life. Joy is a choice. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. So it's really up to us that, again, no matter what the circumstances around us are, that we choose to live in faith, that we choose to live untruth, not fact. Too many times we confuse facts and truth.
Yeah.
For example, fact could be that, you know, maybe you only have $20 in your checking account. That's a fact. But the truth is that in the kingdom, there's no lack of financial resources.
Right.
So, you know, we tend to mix up the two, facts with truth. You know, one's a fact, something else is the truth. So we need to, no matter what the circumstances around us, we need to live out of truth, biblical truth, what Jesus said, not factual stuff. So we live by faith, not by sight. It's a choice to live by faith. It's a choice to not allow our circumstances to dictate what we're going to think, how we're going to act, what we're going to say, what we're going to do. We should not be ruled by our emotions and our feelings. We laugh because it is right, not necessarily because we feel like it. You know what I'm saying? Again, it's a choice. Faith is a choice that we all make in living out of our belief. That's why it's so good to have our minds renewed daily. That's why it's so good to know our identity, that we are children of God, children of the King, that we live inside the kingdom, not outside trying to get in, right? We don't have to earn God's favor or anything like that because He's already given it to us. So when we live out of that truth and those beliefs, then, you know, our choices, our circumstances start to change. Everything in the kingdom happens by choice through faith. Giving is a choice. Loving is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. Serving is a choice, etc., etc. And laughter, living out of joy, is a choice. If we can stop laughing, then we can start laughing whenever we choose. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Again, our joy consists of flowing in the Holy Spirit, building the relationship with the Holy Spirit, recognizing His presence in our life, in our circumstances, and then dwelling in that, living in that, and out of that. How did you?
I'm out the hole. I might as well keep going. be filled in the Greek. This is a present tense verb. That the word that's used in the Greek when it says be filled in the Holy Spirit or be filled with the Holy Spirit is a present tense verb, which reflects on a continuous sense. Again, you know, Jesus and the disciples were filled with joy continually. We talked about 2 weeks ago, the being filled with the Holy Spirit, like the example of the cell, is a continuous thing. It's never ending. It's really up to us, because the resources are there, as far as His presence is always there, but it's really up to us to live in that. So it's we live continually out of that and in that. Everything in the kingdom is cultivated. Loving, giving, faith, wisdom, laughter, joy. It's all something that we cultivate. And as we grow and mature in Christ, we learn to, you know, just continue to go deeper and deeper in these things. And we cultivate it more, so there's always been more in us and more to give out and release. Drinking the Holy Spirit releases the kingdom, God's presence in us and through us. So the more we partake of Him, the more that we have for us, and the more we have to release. You can't give what you don't have. So, you know, the more we spend with Him, the more we grow in Him, the more we receive from Him, is the more we'll have to give out to others. And the more we'll have for ourselves as well. John 17:13 says, I pray, this is Jesus speaking, I'm praying, because I pray that they, talking about His followers, which includes us, would have a full measure of My joy within them. So Jesus really wants us to have the fullness of His joy. Not just a little bit, but He really wants us, He's offering it to us, and that was one of His prayers to the fathers, that we as His followers would have that fullness of His joy in us. And I had the question here. Can you imagine how great that that measure of fullness is? I mean, you know, think about Jesus. Think about the kingdom of God. Think about how infinite He is, how infinite everything of Him is. Paul spoke about His love, you know, the measure, the width, the height, you know, who can measure it. The same thing applies to His joy. You know, it's not just His love, but His joy is like probably is unmeasurable as well, because there's so much of it. Yeah. And Jesus wants us to live in that and out of that. And that's what's offered to us in the Holy Spirit. John 7:37 says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink, and rivers of living water will flow out from within them. Again, God's not putting a limit on how much of His joy we have access to, but He's actually saying, just come and drink. Come and take. Come and partake. It's there for you, for the taking, really. Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12. The river represents the Holy Spirit flowing out of our passionate worship in His presence. It flows out to those around us to transform the world through joy, released by the Holy Spirit, demonstrating the signs and wonders, healing miracles, prophetic insights, and other gifts and resources of God. And you know, so again, that river is the Holy Spirit, and it's always for I don't want to say always, like it's not for us, because it's always for us as well, but it's never to be herded, it's never to be kept in. It's never to be like, well, I got this, this is mine. But it's always to take it out and release it to others, you know.
Exactly.
And, you know, because that's what God wants. His love is for all. He died for all. So it's always what we cultivate inside in our personal relationship with Him is always, you know, for us to go out and release it. You know, it's great to have it here among us in our gatherings, but it's always beyond the four walls, because Jesus was never trapped in by four walls, or He didn't go to the synagogue and do something in the synagogue, and then He didn't do it out in the streets. But no matter where He was at, He was always releasing the kingdom of God.
And that's what we are called to as his kids, to release the kingdom of God no matter where we go to, where we are at. Think of ways, I actually have some homework for you this week. So think of ways that you can release God's joy over other people so that they can experience part of the kingdom. So that's part of the homework. All right, so this week, take some time. You know, you can do it every day if you can, if you want to. At least, if not, at least two or three times during the week, take 30 minutes to soak in God's presence. You know, just spend that time with him. Don't say anything. Don't, you know, just set those 30 minutes to be in his presence. And allow him to speak to you and allow his presence to come over you and stay sensitive to his presence. Then take note of what you felt in his presence, what you thought about in his presence, your experience in his presence, and then and how that, you know, being in his presence and experiencing that, how that changed your atmosphere and how you approach others during that time frame. You guys got your homework now?
Say the last one. What was the last one?
Okay, I got what did you feel in his presence? What did you think about his presence? What was your experience in his presence? And what was the effect on those around you from you being soaking in his presence? Because it really, it's all about his presence. Everything flows out of his presence. We're called to live in and out of his presence, and that's what changes us. That's what changes the atmosphere around us. That's what changes other people. It's his presence. So as his kids, as his believers, we really want to learn just recognizing that presence and living out of that presence. Amen?
Amen.
All right.